This podcast is a part of the Neuhoff Media Podcast Network.
County Health Department's last update on Tuesday, there has been one death and 68 new COVID-19 cases reported in Macon County. The resident was a female in her 50s. Macon County has now had a total of 14,548 since the start of the pandemic. Governor J.B. Pritzker and the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity announced that eligible cities and towns across the state who have yet to do so have just over a week to apply for the non-entitlement unit dollars authorized by the American Rescue Plan Act. To date, 1,009 local governments have taken steps to receive or claim over $361 million. Overall, $742 million was authorized by ARPA to assist non-entitlement units of government who have yet to receive a direct allocation for the latest stimulus. In Illinois, eligible NEUs include more than 1,250 cities, towns, and villages that each serve a population under 50,000. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to nowdecatur.com.
Where is he? I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. Law enforcement will be out searching again today for Brian Laundry, a missing person of interest in Gabby Petito's death. Her body found in Wyoming after he left her out west and came home from a cross-country trip alone.
I can feel what the parents feel because I lost a daughter 5 years ago, so I know what they feel like.
She is in Blue Point, New York, Petito's hometown, where blue ribbons line streets. As for the search, Fox's Evan Brown is live in Florida.
Yeah, Dave, no one has seen Brian Laundry since September 14th, when his parents say he went hiking in the nearby Carlton Reserve. After returning home from that road trip alone, police have spent days searching that expanse of wilderness by boat and buggy.
We are trying to cover every acre in this preserve. It's rough out there. It's hot. It's wet.
Northport, Florida Police Commander Joe Fussell. Laundry is Gabby Petito's boyfriend, but also still a person of interest in her killing, though police have not used the term suspect, Dave.
Evan, the FDA has signed off on Pfizer's COVID vaccine boosters, third doses for those 65 and older and younger people with health issues and people with jobs, putting them at higher COVID risk.
Meanwhile, a CDC advisory committee on immunization practices has been discussing the boosters, hoping to recommend how to proceed with the Pfizer shots. Some panelists feel the vaccines now are enough, while others fear confusion from Moderna and Johnson & Johnson recipients who, for now, can't get extra protection.
Fox's Grinnell Scott, that CDC discussion continues today. The camp of migrants under a bridge in Del Rio, Texas, down from 15 to 5,000. Some have been flown back, angering Democrats like Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley.
The Biden administration must immediately halt all deportations of Haitian migrants.
Some of those Haitians are being allowed into the U.S. President Biden keeps negotiating with his fellow Democrats in Congress as progressives balk at a plan to vote on infrastructure before a $3.5 trillion spending plan. America's listening to Fox News.
Well, according to research, 82% of people remember radio ads. That means that 82% of you listening right now will remember that this is an ad for ZipRecruiter. If you're hiring, 82% of you will recall that ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. And 82% of you will note that you can try ZipRecruiter for free today. But you have to go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Yes, free. 82% of you will keep in mind that ZipRecruiter's technology finds qualified people for your job and actively invites them to apply.
Who are you talking to?
82% of you will also know that I live with my mom. But the most important thing to note is that ZipRecruiter works. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Will you be part of the 82% who remember where you can try ZipRecruiter for free? It's ZipRecruiter.com/free. Again, that exclusive link is ZipRecruiter.com/free. How much? Free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
For a second year in a row, an attempt at police reform has stalled in Congress, prompting President Biden to say he'll consider taking more executive actions.
After months of negotiations, New Jersey Democrat Cory Booker says there is still too wide a gulf and significant obstacles to achieving a bipartisan police reform measure. Booker and South Carolina Republican Tim Scott led negotiations along with House Democrat Karen Bass, looking for consensus on excessive and deadly force and discriminatory policing in the aftermath of high-profile deaths of Black Americans by police. The Democrat-led House has passed a bill named after George Floyd that would in part prohibit chokeholds and no-knock warrants and restrict qualified immunity for police officers. That measure has stalled in the 50-50 divided Senate. On Capitol Hill, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Police in Louisville, Kentucky keep searching for whoever shot and killed a 16-year-old boy boy at a school bus stop early yesterday morning and wounding two other teens in a drive-by shooting. There was a vigil last night.
These are our kids who are shooting each other and who are dying. Start checking those kids' rooms. Check their cell phones. If you don't pay a bill, you don't lock a door.
A partial ban on young adults buying guns is back in place.
A federal appeals court has tossed a previous ruling that found a national law banning young adults from buying handguns from firearms dealers was unconstitutional. The rationale? The Fourth Circuit judges now claim the case is moot because the plaintiff turned 21 years old and the ban no longer applies to her, only adults 18 through 20. In July, the same panel of judges claimed the federal law was unconstitutional, ruling it violated the Second Amendment rights of young adults. Those 18 to 20 can still buy firearms from private parties, just not firearms dealers. Tom Graham, Fox News.
On Wall Street, stock futures are up big the day after a big rebound rally. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
Are you or your loved one thinking of retirement? Discover a new beginning at Tanglewood Village. We are an affordable, independent retirement community with a home-like atmosphere. Located in Decatur on Route 36 East. Come in for a tour, and while you're here, stay for lunch and enjoy a delicious home-cooked meal. With this beautiful landscape, rural setting, and a staff devoted to your needs, it is then that you will know this community is like no other.
Tanglewood Village, a new beginning for your retirement. Call 423-5838 or visit tanglewoodvillage.com.
Here is Nick Smith with your WSOY three-day forecast.
Today's going to be sunny and windy with a high near 70, and tonight clear with a low around 47. For Friday, sunny with a high of 80 and a slight chance of nighttime rain, and Saturday, sunny with a high near 74. The current temperature in downtown Decatur is still 46 degrees, and your WSOY time is 7:06.
Good morning and welcome to the Thursday, September 23rd edition of Buyers & Company. City Hall insider Paul Osborne joins us next. When he's not busy being run down by oncoming traffic, he actually puts out a newspaper. Has some interesting stuff to say. We'll talk about it next. Plus Mark Tupper at Tupper on Sports.
Buyers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Former mayor of Decatur and publisher of the Decatur Tribune and a frequent target of bad drivers in the studios with us here today, as always on Thursdays. Good to see you, Paul. Are you a bad traffic magnet?
I don't know. Maybe they don't like what I write in the paper. I don't know. But I just, you know, on bicycles, skateboards, and everything else, they just, I've honestly never, since it's crazy, reckless driving, as I've seen in the last, probably the last year.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the pandemic, but, you know, that light will turn red and there will be, you know, four or five cars that go right on through on red.
I think that bad driving is like an epidemic. I mean, it seems to be getting worse. You see more of it than I do, but you do a lot of walking, right? I mean, you're out and about around in downtown.
Yeah. Walk to the post office and walk to the places I want to, but everywhere that I go and, you know, that we cover, I can walk to.
Yeah.
From my office. And, that's the advantage of being located where we are.
So what are you hearing back? I know you get feedback from readers, but they see the same thing going on out there.
Yeah, bad driving. Yeah, they do. And they even point out areas, you know, where they travel, where they see it. One lady wrote a letter that I put in my columns talking about an area that she sees every day where people just, like, are racing and driving recklessly. And it's just the... And maybe we're noticing conduct like that more because of a general attitude that we feel and we sense in the community. But, you know, it seems
well,
like,
if you've got a lot of people that are angry, I would assume there's a lot of angry driving going on, right? I mean, all of it translates across the board.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing that two skateboarders, and I think that's one I mentioned, you know, right out here on this intersection, a block from where we are.
Right in front of the post office.
Yeah, and the lighted chains, you know, had turned green, all these cars were hitting, and these skateboarders just shoot right through the intersection. And just, you know, I'm not smart on traffic control or anything, but if you're on a skateboard, you get hit by a car.
You're losing that.
Yeah, you're losing that. And then after they got through, And the warning was there. A guy on a bicycle tries to do the same thing. You know, and
the same red light.
Yeah, the same red light. And like I say, it's been probably 10 seconds since the light had changed. And then he had to screech to a halt and turn sideways to avoid getting hit by cars.
It is in my nature to be an annoyed driver. I mean, it's just there's no doubt about it. I pulled in to get gas yesterday at a gas station here in town and filled up my tank. Man, it was expensive. Gas is high right now. But when I got done, you know, I got my receipt off the machine and I got in, I put my seatbelt on, and there was an older guy who was getting gas like at a pump, like way off to the left of me. He was the mask wearing guy that wears it around his chin, you know, which I've never like understood at the beginning of this. And then he starts wandering over into where my car is, looking at something in the sky. And I look up to see, you know, is there a plane coming down? And as I get ready to pull out, and I'm not in Nick's Tesla, there's engine noise. It's a Cadillac. And I'm trying to pull out, and he just keeps walking in front of my car with his back to me. I mean, in a parking lot of a gas station doing this. And so finally, I mean, I felt bad. I honked my horn. And his reaction was so weird. It was like he just turned and sort of looked and then sidestepped about 6 inches. And I thought, are you impervious? I mean, you're 75 years old. You're not going to win this encounter with a car.
Well, maybe he's looking up. He thought his time was up.
Maybe he was having a premonition. I don't know. But I just, it was the weirdest behavior. Like, I'm just in kind of a haze. And I don't know if situationally we're aware of our surroundings the way we used to be. Yeah. I see a lot of that.
Yeah.
People just drifting through lights and walking through stuff and like just basic traffic laws.
Yeah, I guess that's what really, surprises me because I used to have kind of reckless drivers and that and those that would speed, you know, and pass everybody. And then you met them at the next stoplight. I tell you, it gives me a thrill to pull up next to them, you know, after they have like been going 20 miles faster than I have. And then I meet him down, where they have to stop.
See, I'm probably the guy that's next to you, and I'm annoyed that you just caught up with me because I'm realizing it really didn't save me any time at all.
Yeah. And usually, you know, they like gunning their engines when they go by, you know. And I putt up to the stoplight right next to him. It's almost like you just want to wave at him so bad and say, hi there.
That's funny. That is funny. All right. Let's talk a little bit about what your thoughts are. We haven't had a lot of primaries in countywide offices for quite some time. It seems to me, I'm sure there's been one or two, but it used to be sort of a thing. I mean, that was just kind of the way it worked. But Cody Moore, longtime Decatur Police Department employee, throwing his hat in the ring for the Macon County Sheriff's race against Jim Root, you know, our current sheriff, who was at first telling people he wasn't going to run again and now is saying he is going to run again. What do you make of all this?
I don't know. It's Cody, as you mentioned, been around for a long time, knows a lot of people, has good name recognition. I had no inkling, you know, that he was thinking about running for sheriff, but I think he probably has a lot of support out there from people who've known him. And when you're in the community that long and you've been in the position, have the experience in the police department, you do have some background that qualifies you, I think, in an exceptional way to run for an office like that. We did have a primary for the Republican nomination for sheriff. 4 years ago, I think Jim Root had to beat out somebody. Remember that?
Yeah, Jonathan Butts, I believe. Yes.
Yeah. So it's but I just.
But that was an office that was up for grabs, and there wasn't.
A retiring sheriff. Yeah.
Cody's says his priorities: increase interagency training and cooperation. Here's the interesting one: improve upon and increase positive interactions between the Macon County Sheriff's Office deputies and young people in our community. Fully staff the corrections division, manage the sheriff's office with transparency. That's always a jab, right? Because that's alleging that it's not, man.
Yeah.
Bring a management style to the Macon County Sheriff's Office that builds trust with both the public and the department. One senses that, you know, because of the drawn out, election and Tony Brown being put in and then Jim Root and all the legal battles and all the divisions, that the department itself is a divided department.
Well, yeah, and I think you kind of read that into that and some of those points that you just made that were in his news release and in announcing that he was running, that the department was divided because of the last election.
Divided going into that election, let alone having, 2.5 years of legal battles continue that.
Yeah, that's right. And so I think that sensitivity in that division is still there. People are still sensitive about this. And, if anything, I would think Cody would probably get some pretty strong support.
I would think so. Born in Decatur, graduated from Mauquoa High School, graduated from Millikan University, graduate of the FBI National Academy, has a ton of experience. Listen, I think the guy's great. I mean, I've known him for a long time, and I'm a big fan. I wonder, though, just out of curiosity, have you heard from Sheriff Root since he's been in office?
No, I haven't.
I haven't either. And I don't know that that's
bad necessarily.
No, yeah. but I think a large part of that office is the public relations. It is building relationships with the community. It is, there's a whole lot of other stuff, but that's always been a pretty public position.
Yeah, you're right, and I think we've had some individuals that have handled that a lot better than others. Some feel that they're doing their job, and there are others felt that the outreach is about the sheriff himself or herself, should there be a woman elected in the future to that position, of being in the community, of where people can talk to them, of associating with the various members of the community, the whole community. Going into neighborhoods and neighborhood marches. I remember when I was mayor, we used to go to the neighborhoods and meet people and kind of walk with them. And we had representatives there from the sheriff and the police department.
It's building up goodwill. It's not fluff. It's actually part of the job. If you don't do any of that relationship building, and there is a tragic incident where someone loses their life, there's a deputy-related shooting, you can't make that up at midnight on a Wednesday night.
No, and I think part of what you look for in a sheriff or a police chief or those that are leaders among us are those that are sensitive to the needs of the people. And not only that, those people believe you're sensitive to their needs. When you suffer a loss, they believe, and rightly so, that you're concerned about them. You're concerned about their family. You're concerned about what happened to them. And I think the sheriff's office, the sheriff, is someone that needs to be public in that way. It's not like you're glorifying yourself. You're showing that you can be touched by the...
You're the face of that office. I mean,
exactly, yeah.
And I don't have anything against Jim. I mean, but he's just... That's not his thing.
Well, different personalities have been in there. We've had some sheriffs in the past, I think, that have been very good about reaching out and being a part of the community and being part of events.
Tom Schneider.
Yeah.
Gary Dawson.
Yeah, and so I think it's probably your management style, and it's probably to a certain extent what Cody was alluding to too. His management style, I believe, he intends for it to be different than what it is now, and maybe more in uniting the department than it is now.
And maybe it takes somebody from the outside to do that, because I think the inside just as they drew their lines, 4 years ago, and those lines have just been solidified.
Yeah, the lines are still there, only larger lines than they were, 4 years ago. But I don't know. I was a little surprised. I thought, after Jim Root had fought so hard to get in there, that probably no one would run against him this time. But that's what it's about. It's about people stepping up, and it's not like someone from out in the blue somewhere you know nothing about. This is someone where you used to see him at a gathering of police officers or something at the police station. He'd stand out. You would see him, and he was someone that was likable, or someone you'd get acquainted with. And so, I think it'll be a good race.
I didn't know, 6 months ago, I wouldn't have, guessed Cody would be doing this. But when he decided to do this, I thought, this guy's got a background that's, the resume speaks for itself.
Yeah, I didn't really, until I received announcements, I didn't know a lot about that background. But because I was surprised, it kind of came out of the blue. And then I started reading his qualifications and his background and his education and that. I thought
that's enough for me. You know, he was Todd Walker's guy, and I to me, Todd was the gold standard for police chiefs in this community. And so, it was good enough for Todd, good enough for me.
Yeah, and I think Todd had that knack too, and I think you'd agree with me that always open.
And he hated going on the air. Yeah. I mean, I don't mean that like in a mean way. It's just that just wasn't his personality at all. But he knew it was part of the job.
Well, there were times that I remember I'd be on with you. I'd walk out the front door just to walk back to the office, and Tom would be there and say, "Let me give you a ride." So he wanted to talk to me about something, so he'd drive me, drive me on down. But that's the kind of sheriff, the kind of leader that you really enjoy, because if something important to him, that he feels is important to the community, he'll give you a ride down to your office or whatever to tell you about it.
Yeah, and right now, more than ever, and I get why a lot of people in law enforcement aren't thrilled with the media, and I get why they feel the way they do in a lot of areas, but retreating isn't going to help that at all.
No, and I think now more than ever, you need people, whether it's the mayor or a police chief, a sheriff, our community leaders, those we look up to. I think now, we depend on them, and we depend on the characteristic and the attributes they have to lead us in a positive frame of mind.
It's a big deal. It's a big part of the job.
Yeah, and I think especially so now. It's just like we're not coasting now.
Nope.
We're dealing with major, major issues right
now. Well, this will be a race. It'll be interesting to see if there's anybody on the Democrat side, because of who knows. But that Republican primary is, at least at this point, looks very interesting to me.
Yeah, so it's something we can look forward to. Yeah, and
good to have choices. Nothing wrong with that. We're so used to not having choices anymore.
Yeah, I want choices.
Yeah, you know what your choice is today? It's like the lesser of two evils just about every time you vote for anything.
Yeah, and I think that's what's important here. I mean, you're talking about in this primary election that's going to be coming up, two highly qualified individuals. And so you do have choices, and you're not choosing the lesser of two evils in this case. And in fact, it even gets to the point where you can't even choose a lesser of two evils in national politics. There's just no one to pick. But I think we're fortunate that way in the sheriff's race and in some of the other races I think that will be coming up. We have people that are there for the right reason, running for the right reason, and they're highly qualified.
All right, we'll do a little COVID conversation when we get back here. Here's an alert in case you haven't talked to your own personal physician. Nebulizing hydrogen peroxide is not a good idea. People won't get a vaccine that's been run through every litmus test you can possibly do, but the doctors are now having to warn people about hydrogen peroxide COVID misinformation being shared. You won't trust the FDA, but Ned on Facebook can convince you to nebulize hydrogen peroxide.
Yeah.
Will that ever make any sense to you?
No, and I will say, and I think you pretty agree with me, in the last year and a half, there's been a lot of things happen that just don't make sense to me. They really don't. I think, why would someone go this route? Why would someone take on something even more dangerous than what they're claiming they're trying to avoid?
It doesn't make any sense. We'll do that and get the local COVID numbers and a little conversation about newspapers in Decatur, because there's a front page story in the Tribune about that very thing. Here's Nick Smith with your three-day forecast.
Today's going to be sunny and windy with a high near 70, and tonight clear with a low around 47. For Friday, sunny with a high near 80 and a slight chance of nighttime rain. And Saturday, sunny with a high near 74. The current temperature in downtown Decatur is still at 46 degrees, and your WSOI time is 7:23.
Are you or your loved one thinking of retirement? Discover a new beginning at Tanglewood Village. We are an affordable, independent retirement community with a home-like atmosphere, located in Decatur on Route 36 East. Come in for a tour, and while you're here, stay for lunch and enjoy a delicious home-cooked meal. With its beautiful landscape, rural setting, and a staff devoted to your needs, it is then that you will know this community is like no other.
Tanglewood Village, a new beginning for your retirement. Call 423-5838 or visit tanglewoodvillage.com.
The Refresh with NowDecatur.com. It's your daily snapshot, your daily conversation starter. Content you can't get anywhere else. It's the best of Now Decatur straight to your inbox every day. Get curated content, top headlines, daily weather and podcasts. Plus, get real estate listings, restaurant and show recommendations, family-friendly events, and more. Join the thousands of people in Macon County getting The Refresh in their inbox. Go to NowDecatur.com and click opt in to sign up for The Refresh now.
Run with Sloan's on a John Deere Z740R Series Z-Track mower built for taking it easy. That's right, because we're all for keeping it simple. Get 0% for 36 months on the Z740R with a 54-inch deck starting at $223.58 per month. 0% for 36 months only. Some restrictions apply. See Sloan Implement for details. Offer ends 10/29/21. Visit Sloan Implement today, celebrating 90 years and going strong.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
Macon County Health Department, last update, Tuesday, September 21st, 68 new cases, 20 hospitalizations, and a female in her 50s passed away since we last gave you these numbers. Female in her 50s, you know, we've had that sort of phrase, male in his 40s, female in her 80s. So anonymous. You know, it's one of the things that I think has been hard to get people to feel if it's not a member of their own family or a close associate, because so many people are not putting in an obituaries. And I understand that they don't want the fighting on top of the grief, and I get all that. This has been the most anonymous number of deaths in my lifetime, where it's just we surpassed this week the number of deaths for the Spanish flu, when we had no solution,
yeah,
no vaccines.
Yeah, I don't know. It's and you know, we've discussed this. It's just hard to understand, and it's just become so political. It's all tied into politics, and just like you will endanger your children's lives, your friends' lives, your family's lives to take a stand.
Yeah,
on something.
And not only do you not care, you're proud of not caring.
Yeah, you're a patriot, you know, yeah, for doing that. And I don't understand it, and you know, as you know, and you've known me for many years, you know, I am, and I've mentioned this, I'm pretty conservative in my views and certainly in my politics, and, you know, pretty much a fundamentalist Christian, too, in what I believe. But I believe if you're going to pray to God for an answer, you know, and God, in my point of reference here is, you have a vaccine. How about the tools that you're provided, you know. You pray for help in this pandemic, and you're provided a vaccine in record time. Well, it's a suspicious. We do everything in record time now. I mean, what, you know, are we supposed to develop a vaccine the same way we did 50, 70 years ago? We don't in any other form of medical science. We don't. And I trust the science. I trust the medical community. You know, I don't trust John Jones sitting in his basement somewhere giving me medical advice and saying, you don't know what's in this stuff. Many thousands of people have died as a result of it. Well, where's your proof? And then we don't hear from him anymore. It just, I don't understand it. And as a editor and as a citizen, as a parent, you know, I look at this and say, okay, you want to take a stand? Well, then at least cover your face up.
I've watched, I don't know how many countless videos. It's almost, I can't watch them anymore just because of the disappointment in human behavior. But in airplanes, at school board meetings, this outrage that people have, this outrage, this self-glorified justification that you're in some Mel Gibson movie, fighting off the redcoats because you want to put kids in danger.
Yeah.
Did you watch this DeVore? This guy, he wants to be an appellate judge, by the way. He's the one taking all these cases this last, you know, couple of years, this Darren Bailey guy. Go watch his Facebook video and tell me this man isn't unhinged. And tell me he's fit to be a judge.
Yeah.
It's childlike.
Well,
tantrums.
Yeah, I can only speak not only as a private citizen, as a businessman, as a publisher, you know, certainly have sources and resources beyond what the average person has and have had, and communication with mayors of other communities and that, because of my time here and the friendships made over the years. If anyone would be aware, I think, of a conspiracy, I mean, there are even conservative columnists that write for me. If anyone would be aware of a conspiracy, you know, I think I would be on that list, you know, and I just don't see it. I see a lot of misleading statements made. I see a lot of things I have to shake my head at, which some of the people making this are people that I would have agreed with on about every other thing before all this happened. And it makes me question then, you know, how much of what else that they fell for.
I know.
Yeah. But do you feel that way?
To this, yes, I do. I've never been more disappointed in people than in the last 2 years. This female who died yesterday in her 50s, you know, tell her family, her kids, her grandkids, her loved ones, her friends, her associates, that most people are okay. It's just the flu. Yeah. You know, I don't know why there hasn't been even an inkling of compassion. And I've read story after story of loved ones who have been public about it, then having to sit and argue with strangers on Facebook that their loved family member didn't really die of COVID. Who does that to a grieving family?
I don't know. I think it's done in the present environment, and the people that do it don't even have second thoughts about it.
Yeah, but that's a they problem.
Yeah.
That is, we can't continue to be like that as human beings.
Well, and I've always believed we're better than that. You know, I really do, and I still do. I've been surprised at the number of people that are upset, and being upset is one thing about what's happening, but then following false and providing false information and then putting down people that have suffered as a result.
Just Google Vandalia school board meeting and watch this woman, and it will give you all of the answers to what is wrong with all of us. Paul, we appreciate it. We'll see you next week. Back with more after this.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. President Biden's been meeting with Democrats in Congress about moving forward with spending on infrastructure and social programs, and there's a possible government shutdown coming at the end of the month and then possible debt default.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says it's up to Democrats to increase the borrowing limit.
This is a totally Democratic government.
Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says it's Republicans threatening a devastating default by refusing to increase a limit on debt they supported.
It's the Trump debt that we now must pay.
On Capitol Hill, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
It's another day of searching a park in Florida for Brian Laundrie. His girlfriend, Gabby Petito, was found dead in Wyoming.
They are utilizing dive teams and sonar technology to search waist deep water, that on top of cadaver dogs, ATVs, drones, and water buggies to help search teams navigate the 25,000-acre nature reserve.
Fox's Charles Watson. America's listening to Fox News.
Are you or your loved one thinking of retirement? Discover a new beginning at Tanglewood Village. We are an affordable, independent retirement community with a home-like atmosphere. Located in Decatur on Route 36 East. Come in for a tour, and while you're here, stay for lunch and enjoy a delicious home-cooked meal. With this beautiful landscape, rural setting, and a staff devoted to your needs, it is then that you will know this community is like no other.
Tanglewood Village, a new beginning for your retirement. Call 423-5838 or visit tanglewoodvillage.com.
If you're not getting as much drill out of your drill, if your circular saw is making you dizzy, and if your Sawzall isn't sawing at all, it might be time for a new tool battery. Rex Battery has just the battery that will fit the manufacturer's specifications. We stock our batteries fresh so you get longer life and more power. You don't need to remember any part numbers or secret codes. In fact, you can bring your old battery in and we'll know exactly which one you need. We've spent decades dealing in batteries and know them better than just about anybody. Best of all, your battery is likely sitting right here waiting for you. No need to hope it gets delivered. No need to go to a chain and try to guess which one you need. If your projects are battery powered, Rex Battery can get it going. From the tiniest hearing aids to the biggest farm equipment, nobody knows batteries better than Rex. 1330 East El Dorado, Decatur.
Rex with a double X battery. Generations of power.
Are you searching for a comfortable, safe, and secure environment where you can welcome family and friends? Eagle Ridge is the place for you. Eagle Ridge is the affordable assisted lifestyle community for adults age 65 and better. Enjoy your private apartment with home-cooked meals, housekeeping, and a gorgeous patio and courtyard. They also have a 24-hour emergency response system with nursing staff on call for your personal care needs. All this in a financial assistance program that makes Eagle Ridge affordable for everyone. Call 872-1282 or visit Eagle Ridge, 875 West McKinley.
Here is Nick Smith with your WSOY three-day forecast.
Today's going to be sunny and windy with a high near 70, and tonight clear with a low around 47. For Friday, sunny with a high of 80 and a slight chance of nighttime rain. For Saturday, sunny with a high near 74. The current temperature in downtown Decatur is up a couple degrees to 48, and your WSOY time is 7:34.
Tupper on Sports on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Every weekday morning, we check in with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. All right, let's start with the Cardinals. Still on a roll. Well,
they are, Brian. They have won 11 in a row now after... They didn't just beat Milwaukee yesterday. They sort of bludgeoned them. They were up 6-0 after two innings. A lot of people hit the ball, but to me, the most impressive thing yesterday was Miles Michaelis. Seven innings pitched, allowed four hits, two earned runs. No one did not walk a batter. This is a guy that, remember, he missed all of last season because of a shoulder issue. He has missed much of this season because of forearm tightness. And to see him emerge now, I don't know. He's still going to get another start or two. But if he can become a viable option as you consider their postseason possibilities, it really broadens their pitching possibilities. Offensively, the Cardinals had 15 hits yesterday, home runs by O'Neill and Goldschmidt. Remember, this is a Cardinal team that not that long ago was kind of stumbling along. They were 8.5 games out of the wild card race on August the 10th. They now lead both Cincinnati and Philadelphia by 4.5 games for the final National League wild card spot. Their pitching and hitting is coming together at the perfect time. We're finally seeing the depth of this lineup. They're getting healthier. The pitching staff is sorting itself out. The bullpen is sorting itself out. That has been a real sticking point. They've had to do a lot of experimentation and patching here and there and try to get some combinations that work. And meanwhile, the Brewers have lost 3 in a row to St. Louis. They've really lost some of their swagger. So the Cardinals go for a sweep of that series. The final game is this afternoon at 1:10, and it's Adam Wainwright pitching, going for his 17th win of the year. And then Friday, it's a doubleheader against the Cubs, and Jack Flaherty will start the second game. You know, too early to say what his situation might be in terms of fitting into their postseason plans, because he went on the 10-day injury list on August 25th with a right shoulder strain. But if he were to come out and pitch really well tomorrow and begin to show the kind of effectiveness we know he can have, you know, now you got another guy in there. And so, you know, all of a sudden Mike Schilt's problems are, I got too many good pitchers. And wouldn't that be a nice problem to have? But 11 in a row and looking great, and on they march.
All right. On the other side of the break, we'll do a little Big Ten football news with Mark Tupper. It's brought to you by First National Bank, the quality bank, coming soon to downtown Decatur.
Are you or your loved one thinking of retirement? Discover a new beginning at Tanglewood Village. We are an affordable, independent retirement community with a home-like atmosphere, located in Decatur on Route 36 East. Come in for a tour, and while you're here, stay for lunch and enjoy a delicious home-cooked meal. With its beautiful landscape, rural setting, and a staff devoted to your needs, it is then that you will know this community is like no other.
Tanglewood Village, a new beginning for your retirement. Call 423-5838 or visit tanglewoodvillage.com.
Back here with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. All right, let's talk a little Big Ten football and head up to Northwestern.
Yeah, indeed, Brian. You know, donors and donations are just such a huge part of any college transformation, whether it be, you know, a new science or arts building or a new or renovated sports facility. It's much easier to see at a campus like Millikan because it's a more compact campus than the University of Illinois. And you can drive around and kind of see, if you think back over the last 20 years or whatever it might be, you know, hey, this building wasn't there and this building wasn't there and that softball field and baseball facility weren't there. And all of that, or much of that, has happened through the generosity of donors. And when Illinois was building the Henry Dale and Betty Smith Football Performance Center, which is gorgeous and which we've talked about, a $20 million gift from Dale and Chris Smith from Springfield, and 15 of that was designated the football facility, so not all 20. That made that building possible in many ways and got them naming rights for that. But now comes news from Northwestern this week that really caught my attention. For years, they played their football games at Dyke Stadium, which was a horrible facility, and it was renovated in 97 and renamed Ryan Field. And it is still, however, the smallest, least exciting football stadium in the Big Ten, and it's not close. But Patrick Ryan and his wife Shirley Ryan, who are Northwestern graduates, have announced this week they are making a $480 million gift, the largest in the history of the school, not all of it to a new football stadium, but a pretty good chunk will allow them to reimagine and rebuild this football stadium. They're working with architectural and design firms right now. The timeline is a little bit uncertain, but this will probably displace the football team for, I would think, for two seasons. I would look for them to play their home games at Soldier Field. They may move a couple late-season games to Wrigley Field. They're doing that this year, playing Purdue there on November 20th. But that is an unbelievable gift. I mean, Patrick Ryan, who made his money in the insurance business, he is what every university dreams of. He is an incredibly wealthy guy who is personally invested in the university, who is just passionately committed to making a difference, and a big difference. So watch this develop. It will change the look and the feel of what Northwestern football can be. You know, we think about this kind of thing with Alabama football, Notre Dame football, Ohio State football, but not Northwestern football. And so good for them. That's a great thing. Sport Talk tonight from 5 to 6. Tim Kaine and I will be in the studio, sort of a Cardinals post game when they wrap up their game, see if they can get to 12 in a row against the Brewers. We'll talk some Illinois football. They play Purdue on Saturday, and the NFL is a couple weeks in, and we're starting to get a little bit of a feel for things. We'll talk about that as well.
All right, Mark, we'll see you tonight at 5. We appreciate it, and we will check in with you first thing tomorrow morning with Tupper on Sports. All right, we're... one sports item that I didn't ask you about this week that I feel like we should have touched on. The Conor McGregor first pitch.
It's up there in the, well, it's down there in the bottom 10 all time.
Bottom 10?
Yeah.
You think it's, I mean, to me, it's like Carl Lewis and this.
Roseanne Barr had a bad one.
Roseanne Barr wasn't an athlete.
There's been some bad ones. Safely top 10, arguably up there at the top. I'm just saying.
Okay, can we classify these in two categories?
Sure.
Meaning athletes versus non-athletes.
All right.
And maybe that's unfair, but you think about a person who could go in the octagon and contort their body and do all the training, would have put a little more prep work into throwing a baseball than Roseanne Barr.
Yeah,
Am I wrong about that?
I would think that a typical hardworking athlete might, but Conor McGregor is a hardworking MMA person and a hardworking partier. So I don't know that there's room for a baseball being thrown. It's bad. The catcher's face, whoever it was, I don't even.
There was a mascot standing back there, too. Yeah,
but whoever was crouched behind the plate, they don't wear a helmet. It's just, you know, an outfielder or whatever. Their eyes got so big, like, whoa.
And then how do you take the victory lap after that?
Because you just don't care. So bad.
I mean, he almost hit a cameraman that wasn't even, like, in the shot.
Yeah. It's extra bad.
What other, I guess maybe... in my mind, I separate athletes from non-athletes, meaning that I don't put Carl Lewis or Conor McGregor in the same category as Roseanne Barr.
Yeah. I'm drawing a blank right now, but I can pull up a quick list. I remember Howard Stern's producer, Baba Booey.
Okay, same thing.
Yeah, it was extra bad. Probably similar to Connor's. There's been some bad basketball players. Yeah, there's been some bad ones.
It seems to me like there's more bad than good, right?
No, there's way more good than bad. They're just they don't make the news because they're just boring. It's a little soft.
Fauci did one, right? A bad one.
Yeah.
50 Cent.
Oh, yeah. His was really bad.
Back in 2014.
Yeah, his was really bad. I love thinking about him. And I've seen, I think Simone Biles might have done a flip and then a strike. George W. Bush threw a nice strike.
George Bush. Listen.
The 9/11 one was.
You'll never, ever top that.
Right.
And here's why. And even haters have to acknowledge this. Iconically, symbolically, at the time, never more important, because now the rest of this is ever even anything close to important. No one cares what Michael Jordan did versus the Cubs and the San Francisco Giants back in 1998.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. But that one mattered. And I remember watching that live and just going, oh, my God. And wearing a bulletproof vest.
Oh, yeah.
For the people that want to make the Conor McGregor European cut tight suit argument. You know what I mean?
Right.
I would just think there was that great West Wing episode where President Bartlett was having to throw out a first pitch. And they got like one of the hallways, you know, in the White House cleared out and he's rehearsing.
Right.
And practicing. Yeah, Baba Booey, Gary, whatever.
Delabonte.
Yeah, Delabonte. That was in 2009. John Wall evidently had a bad one.
Yeah. I just remember Carly Rae Jepsen.
Yes, Miss Texas 2014, Monique Evans. That's a funny one.
Yeah.
Did Mariah Carey.
Oh, yeah. Did Bruce Willis have one in, like, Philly? It was pretty bad.
Snoop Dogg.
Oh.
Padres Braves 2016. See, they have Carl Lewis ranked 10th. I mean, Carl Lewis might have been one of, I mean, the most impressive athletes in the history of athletes.
And then the goofiest off of the track.
Yeah, but he was a 9-time Olympian.
Oh, he was the best from my childhood. He was the standard.
And I think he actually wanted a second attempt. Like he demanded a retry. But they're not ever going to show you the retry.
Right. He also butchered the national anthem one time, too.
Let me ask you this, though. If you were, is the honor so great that you just, you get out of whack on your reality?
Yeah. And also, you sit there and think, I can throw a ball. That's no big deal. I've thrown balls my whole life. I don't even need to think about it.
Roseanne Barr's never had that conversation with herself.
No, but I mean, because you don't need to have the conversation. It's so mundane.
I'm telling you, Roseanne Barr didn't spend her life throwing baseballs. I promise you.
No, I mean, but she's thrown something as a kid. She threw
stuff at Tom Arnold. It's not the same thing.
Right.
A book, a saucepan.
I'm not saying it's the same thing. I'm saying that it is so below the average person. They're like, I can't do that.
No way. Why would the average person think they could go out to the pitcher's mound and throw something across home plate? Why would anyone outside of baseball players believe they had that in them?
That's, and I'm siding with you 100%. I'm saying it's not a rational thought, but I think people are like, I can toss that over there. No big deal.
Now, if you were asked to do it,
mm-hmm.
on the mound or off the mound?
I'd go on the mound.
Okay.
But I played baseball as a kid. I would also not try to fire it in there.
Okay. Second, you played as a kid. What was the distance between home plate and the pitcher's mound when you played?
I think within 5 feet of major league. I think it's 60.
As a kid?
Yeah, 60 feet, 6 inches as a pro. I think it's similar. We played in Busch Stadium.
Okay. You didn't play all your games at Busch Stadium.
No, but I mean, it's not like we played on a little dinky, field.
You play it in parks.
90-foot bases. I mean.
Okay. Where did you play your, like, most of your game?
Kiwanis.
Okay. You think Kiwanis
or MacArthur
baseball field is the basic equivalent of a pitcher's mound
when
in Major League Baseball?
First base, yeah, I do, actually.
Okay.
There's no mound, but I think that the pitching distance is probably within 5 feet, if I remember right.
Okay. I'm going to go with your anecdotal evidence until I can find otherwise. My thought is that it's not anywhere near close if you go to Kiwanis Park.
Well, okay, so then go to MacArthur.
Okay, now you're talking Little League versus high school. Those are two very
different
things.
I mean, I played baseball both.
Okay. Well, pick one because you're putting them all together into one thing.
I mean,
46 feet is the standard Little League pitcher's mound to home plate.
Okay.
That's not within 5 feet of Major League Baseball.
Okay, Little League's not. But I also didn't play Little League. I played Kiwanis League. But it's probably closer to Little League.
Man, I can't believe you're going to die on that hill, that mound. That 46-foot away from home plate mound, you're going to die on that one. Well, I didn't play Little League. I played Kiwanis League. You think Kiwanis League? Well, they're just going to throw all the rules out. Everybody else is following and add a 20 feet to the pitcher. Come on.
I don't know.
I don't know why people accept this offer.
It is almost
impossible to do well, right?
Hey, you wouldn't take it?
I don't think so.
Oh, you have to take it.
Let's ask where you're taking it, because I think that matters.
Cardinals,
too.
You've broadcast, you know, we're affiliate. Hey, we want
to. And by the way, Little League to the base pass, 60 feet, 30 feet shorter than.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. Okay. I'm wrong on that, period.
Way to diffuse it. All right. So.
This is wrong.
All right, Cardinals, Cubs, no way. Chicago's a rude town. By and large.
I think I would do it.
At Wrigley.
Yeah.
Oh.
I would. And if I blew it, I would lean in. I'd lean right in.
And then take me out to the ballpark. Would you do the singing too?
Yeah. It's once in a lifetime, unless you're Bill Murray. Yeah, I'd do it.
Okay.
Only at Wrigley. Well, no, I'd probably do it at any. If somebody thought enough of me to want me to do that.
All right. Listen. Be careful. I'm going to make this happen.
Oh, geez, no.
I mean, at a local level, we'll get you to MacArthur.
No, I don't care about that.
That's your alma mater. I mean, you would go do it in front of strangers, but not your hometown?
Gosh. I mean, like at a pro level, like if I'm...
Dude, you walked into this with open arms.
The opportunity to sing, take me out to the ballgame at Wrigley
Field.
We could
probably arrange that at MacArthur, too.
I probably did that at MacArthur. It's already done.
Howard threw out a first pitch over at Johns Hill when they opened the new.
How'd he do?
He did okay.
Yeah.
He bounced it, but it was.
A bounce is better than a super wide.
Yes.
The bounce is actually okay, I think.
If you bounce it over the plate, I mean, not all bounces are equal.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, just standard
the
one hopper.
The distance thing is probably what gets most people.
Mm-hmm.
You're just, your hand-eye coordination, it's not something you do every day.
Right. Yeah, I agree. But I think a lot of people think that they could do it.
I think it's a self-awareness thing. Like most things in life we're going through right now.
Yeah. You wouldn't sing Take Me Out to the Ballgame at Wrigley?
Hell no.
Man, it's just one of those things. It's like a win in Rome.
What do you get out of it?
I don't know.
I mean, you are getting nothing but ridicule. I mean, that is literally just inviting it.
If you have a Peter Brady moment,
you have any moment, I mean, there's a handful of people that can do that well. Most of us are not in that handful.
Yeah, most of us aren't Eddie Vedder or Bill
Murray
or Harry Carey.
Not even close. Yeah, I tend not to. I'll do tough things, you know, despite them being tough. If there's some sort of payoff or it's the worth the while in doing it, there's nothing in this. This is nothing but setting yourself up for failure.
I will tell you one that I do know that I can't do because I've had anecdotal experience. If somebody were to ask me, like even my team, the Falcons, asked me to like kick a field goal or something, can't. I tried it at the College Football Hall of Fame. It didn't go wide right. It went all the way right. It didn't go up. It went down.
Yeah.
It was bad. I can't do that.
Man's got to know his limitations.
I know that one.
Dirty Harry once said. We'll be back. Here's Nick Smith with your 3-day forecast.
Today is going to be sunny and windy with a high near 70, and tonight clear with a low around 47. For Friday, sunny with a high near 80 and a slight chance of nighttime rain, and Saturday, sunny with a high near 74. The current temperature in downtown Decatur is 50 degrees, and your WSOY time is 7:53.
Are you or your loved one thinking of retirement? Discover a new beginning at Tanglewood Village. We are an affordable, independent retirement community with a home-like atmosphere, located in Decatur on Route 36 East. Come in for a tour, and while you're here, stay for lunch and enjoy a delicious home-cooked meal. With this beautiful landscape, rural setting, and a staff devoted to your needs, it is then that you will know this community is like no other.
Tanglewood Village, a new beginning for your retirement. Call 423-5838 or visit tanglewoodvillage.com.
Don't miss the one-day-only final sidewalk sale of the year at Shop on Main at 407 North Main Street in downtown Decatur. There are amazing deals going on exclusively from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. only on Saturday, September 25th. Racks of $5, $7, and $10 clothing. 50 to 75% off many other items. One day only, Shop on Main, 407 North Main in downtown Decatur. Modern looks, old-fashioned pampering. For more details, visit Shop on Main on Facebook.
Take charge of the years ahead with a smart, sound investment strategy and business succession plan. UC Bank's business and wealth management experts help you envision your best future with powerful insights and proven strategies. Building business and growing wealth since 1868, UC Bank, proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
By the way, if you're interested in how MLB and baseball decided on that 60-foot, 6-inch thing, which is a really odd number, go read about a guy by the name of James Creighton, who literally died at the age of 21 in 1862, but he was so powerful a pitcher, it changed all of modern-day baseball.
They had to move him back?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Now, I'm not quite sure how it landed on, you know, the 6 inches, because it was only 45 feet originally. And then this guy comes along who was a cricket player and has, you know, nuclear loose stuff.
Oh, wow.
That's interesting, right?
Yeah. But
what's the measurement thing is fascinating to me. There's a great scene in Hoosiers where Gene Hackman, as the coach, makes the guys get the tape measure out, you know, when they show up for the big state championship and measure the floor.
Yep.
That's impactful.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you realize, all right, this is what we do.
Yep. We're used to this rectangle.
Even though the environment's going to be all that different.
In Ted Lasso, they had the opposite effect. They're like, it's the same field. He tried to give the Hoosier
yes.
speech, and they're like, well, they're not all the same.
No, they're all different. one of the funniest things about that show is his conventional sort of all the stuff we've grown up with. You can't count on any of the stereotypes.
Right. He forces that, and they're like, nope, it's nothing like what you know, just so you know. He's just still doing his own thing.
Yeah. So what other sporting traditions are there? I mean, the first pitch is really unique,
mm-hmm.
meaning you can be invited to sing the national anthem at about any.
Sure.
If you're a musician.
Mm-hmm.
You can maybe take part in a coin toss. I mean, what else? I mean, in what other sport do they actually expect you to go out and physically mimic what they do? I guess contest at halftime in the NBA.
They do that in hockey. They do that on hockey where you have to try to get the puck in the little slot
to
win a car or whatever.
Yeah.
They do the field goal challenge at football.
What I've never seen that at an NFL game.
Yeah, and they also do at an NFL game, they'll also get these little pylons that have holes in nets, and you have like a basket of balls, and you have however many somebody can get.
See, I've never seen any of that on the field at an NFL game.
Oh, weird. Yep. They do that all the time.
Halftime?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then whoever has the most gets the whatever, $500 gift certificate.
All right. And I guess the contest thing seems a little more realistic. I mean, at least you're out there being stupid, trying to get something.
Right.
Whereas the first pitch.
The base running.
Yeah.
The Atlanta race around the outfield is awesome. You should see that.
Okay.
With the freeze, he gives you like a whole.
That all seems very much more adaptable to normal people than standing out there at 60 feet, 6 inches and trying to throw something across the plate.
Right.
All right, we've got to take a break for top of the hour stories and news. A lot to get to here today, including some ticket giveaways. Our last chance for you to see the Cardinals in the regular season, courtesy of First Mid, hopefully postseason on the way. Stay tuned.
No matter where you are, we're there. WSOY Decatur, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is Shiler with your stories now. Cody Moore announced his candidacy for the office of Macon County Sheriff in the 2022 election. Cody retired in 2016 from the Decatur Police Department as deputy chief and has 31 years of law enforcement experience. Since his retirement from the Decatur Police Department, he has worked as an expert law enforcement consultant and has remained a sworn police officer. He had a part-time status in Moequa in the Macon County Sheriff's Office and remains a part-time deputy in the Christian County Sheriff's Office as well. In coordination with the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs Suicide Prevention Team, Richland Community College presents the first annual Operation Obstacle, the race to end veteran suicide. Join us for a timed 2-mile obstacle.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.